Welcome to Creating Cashflow, April 7th, 2024. We made it. Karen Eileen. All right.
Yes,
Victor
hello.
Schwartz, hello.
Hello.
Your client is paying for a new social media software for you to try. That's fun.
Yes.
You took your first staycation since the pandemic, an early birthday celebration. It was budgetary and fun. Okay, well, those two things are possible then, huh?
Yes, how
I
about it? Shocking.
love it. The quality of your television and film auditions have increased significantly, and I attribute not a small amount of that to the mindset work we're doing here. Love it when you
Yeah.
can directly kind of see the dots connecting.
For sure.
Family members have gifted you with a session with an organizer for your birthday. Oh, so your decluttering will get a boost. I love it. Congratulations on all of that.
Thank you.
Okay. So Karen Eileen is a voiceover coach. That's the biz, among other things that we're working here on Cashflow, but she's also a performer, Cashflow Tiger. So you're feeling, this is what you wrote, you're feeling a bit burnt out on the coaching for other companies, voiceover coaching for other companies. And you're wondering about a strategy in terms of the following choices, which are what you see at the moment. That's what you see, these four.
Right.
And then we'll talk about them. Options. Number one, lean into some 1099 entrepreneurial things that have been calling you, that feel like they could be fun, specifically like Amazon affiliate programs, influencer programs. Two, lean into a truly dedicated run, like 90 days, at building social media following to the point where sponsorship is a real thing. Three, spend all the extra time getting materials in place for a solid shot at a W-2 remote work job, specifically in the areas of copywriting or social media content creation. Option four, spend all or most of the extra time ramping up the coach at the university level program, live or remote. Lots of research to find the contact info for the decision makers who you currently understand to be like the deans of theater and dance departments. And then you had another question that relates, sort of. I want to talk about it kind of all in one. But first, I must cough. Okay. So you wrote, you said something in one of the life of the mindset sessions that made you stop and ponder, something along the lines of creating cash flow is about designing a side gig to complement your artistic or main endeavor. I feel like I've been holding it as the goal to manifest a giant core gig and having to potentially put the artistic stuff off to the side a little bit. Am I missing something? How do I think about this dance? Let's kind of talk about that first, and then we'll go into the options. I mean, if you are an artist and you have this artistic career that you want to build, yeah, anything you do to produce cash that's not directly related to that is sort of on the side. And there are times in life where it's like, I need money. And so then the artistic stuff does, it's on the bottom, it's the small one. And making money is like the top priority. And then as you can grow the artistic thing, you can have the time be a little more equal, and then maybe the artistic gets to the top, and then you can fade. I mean, that's the ideal, phase
That's
out.
a really helpful visual. I don't know why. Just something
Yeah,
about that,
that's
just how something just clicked right there.
yeah. So right now, in your case, at least how we've been talking about it the past couple months, your need for cash flow and your desire for cash flow from other sources is here. Now, every so often, you've been getting gigs and your acting stuff is still viable. Like you said, you've been getting auditions and everything. But the thing that you have the most influence over creating cash flow is the other stuff you're doing. But then the goal, of course, is to keep growing the auditions and growing the auditions and growing the auditions and getting you back on TV.
Amen.
And then flipping it. You know, and then if it flips back, it flips back. There's no morality involved here. It's not like, oh, you're a better, look, you're a better person. Your artistic stuff is on top. You're a more talented artist. No, there's so many variables involved.
That's such a fucking seductive narrative. Like, I hear you, and I have to keep unhooking it. Unhook, unhook, unhook. Yeah.
We all do. Because life throws curveballs and you don't suddenly become a bad person because you have to like go earn some money. I mean, there was a time, when the Great Recession hit and my husband just lost his job that he'd had for 12 years. And it was like, oh, okay. I wasn't planning on organizing anymore, but boy, are we going to organize now. Boy, is that going to be on sale? And boy, am I just going to keep that money coming in while I also built my coaching business. So it was like for a hot second, it flipped and I just got as much organizing work as I could until I could like rebuild the coaching and then phase out the organizing.
Got it.
I was lucky to have something in my back pocket though
Yes.
that I could pull out. It's not a sign of weakness, like, oh, I have to go back to organizing. Oh,
Yeah.
so that means my coaching. But no, it's because my husband lost a job and we're in a great recession. And the story is I'm fortunate to have this in my back pocket. And boy, am I going to use it. And then I'm going to shove it back there as soon as possible.
Got it.
So this is just your life.
Yeah.
And the thing to be celebrated and to commend yourself for and feel really proud of is that you're surviving.
Yeah.
You're paying the rent
Yep.
by any means necessary.
Yep, that's right.
It doesn't matter how you get the money, in what combination, month to month to month. It's that you are doing the work to get the money so that you can keep putting one foot in front of the other and position yourself so that if one of those artistic opportunities hits, you can handle it and you're ready for it. That's how I see it. So, of those four options, do you have one that appeals to you the most? Like, where's your head at regarding the four?
I feel like for some reason, I feel like I wanna take the 90-day run at social media. Like, I'd like to see what I can do with my social media following if I am all in for 90 days using all the gems and tricks and hacks that people share to sort of like help reach a bigger audience. I've never tried it.
A bigger audience of who?
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, and so it's vague and nebulous. So the question is, do I want to connect to people in the actor world? But that's really not what I'm talking about here. It's like people who would want to partner with me somehow. So like the things that I'm most passionate about are the performance world and the wellness world. So this would be more about the wellness world, I feel like, rather than like, I'm gonna post three acting clips a day and I'm gonna post acting tips three times a day. Like, I don't feel like that's where I'm diving. I feel like it's the other side, like the wellness world, like how to calm down in 30 seconds. And here's a really cool meditation I found. And here's that, like, I feel like, and it scares me because I've never put myself out there in a public arena in that manner. I mean, I do that, but it's very quiet worlds that I do it in. So to put myself out there as a wellness human, even though I have a lot of experience sharing that and helping people, it's just scary. It's fear, just fear.
Yeah, that strikes me as an experimental cash flow creation that you experiment with when you have a more steady source of income. This is not something you build to be the steady source of income because, first of all, it's at the mercy of an algorithm and how they're sharing, and that it doesn't
Correct.
work the way it used to work.
And you know, TikTok may be shut down at any second, so it's not really TikTok, but I'm thinking about like YouTube, and trying to grow like a real following there. I think the current number is you have to have 2,000 followers in order for them to approach you for monetization. So I'd
But
look to grow it.
even if you did grow, because I'm not saying you couldn't. I'm just looking at this as a via, you need a steady stream of income.
So all
And
yeah, the
a
things
brand
that are still
deal is
yes, please.
a brand deal. A brand deal is one brand deal.
Yeah.
And then you might get another one. But you're putting yourself on this treadmill. I mean, I've done quite a bit of research on YouTube, especially social media in this last year, and
Okay.
just the psychological treadmill of like, I've got to hit the numbers and I've got to maintain the numbers. And what if the algorithm,
Produce the
and I
content
just
and release
posted
the
a video
content and
today about like new channels get a boost right when they start and then they plateau because the algorithm holds it back because there's different rules for small channels than there are for big channels, even in terms of uploading a video, apparently. You can upload the same size video, and if you have like over 100,000 followers, YouTube will let you go do that really quick. And it takes a lot longer because they're just appropriating the bandwidth and the resources in different ways. And the problem with that, the real problem, is you don't know that. You don't, nobody, there's not no YouTube memo that comes across and says, this is what we're doing this month. So don't feel bad.
I see
You're
posts like that. They're like, guess what? The algorithm has changed. But like, I don't know how everybody finds that out. So.
They talk to each other and kind of piece it together.
Okay.
But here's the thing, is that it's not if it would work or if it didn't. When you need money and you're working in a realm that you don't have a lot of control over, even if somebody's seeing you, will they like me and do the brand deal? And then maybe you need the money so bad you take a brand deal that you're not 100% like loving, but like if you're that's a lot of stress. To go into an already stressful environment. I'm not
I'm not
saying.
sure why it feels less stressful to me than looking for a traditional W-2 job, probably
I
because I
don't
haven't.
either. I don't
Why
either.
I mean the W-2 world, I was in it a really long time. I was in the corporate world and I probably need to do some mindset work around it because like the first thing I want to tell you is that I just hate it. I just like hate is the word that comes to me. So that's very emotional. And I always felt like I was being suffocated and I always felt horrible and I always felt like it took a toll on my health. And and here I am trying to step back into that. And I'm like, why am I doing that? Because I need money. Yes, but is there going to be a consequence to my mind, body, spirit, health? And it's not worth it. So I have to try and do something else to generate the cash. But this is
I
all.
think there's this whole thing when you say the corporate world. I get it. I mean, I understand what you're talking about, the toxic environment and the blah, blah, blah.
And I had a couple, unfortunately, I mean, one of them was the government. So, like, some people have a good experience. I had a less good experience. And so there's all kinds of things. Yeah.
But that was one job.
Correct.
And you're extrapolating the handful of experiences you've had. And going, well, I don't want to do that again. And I'm like, well, then, yeah, don't do that again. Leave sooner, sniff out the toxicity, deal with the first two red flags rather than the eighth red flag.
Okay.
Like, there could be a wonderful job out there with wonderful people who you're like, oh, this isn't bad. There's hundreds of job opportunities. And even if like 20% of them were like good places to work, those are the ones you want to find. I'm not saying it's easy, but neither is building a YouTube following and hoping for a brand deal. Like
Yes, now I got
you
you.
think by it sounds to me like you're like, I really just want to avoid the job because of the toxicity. I'm like, well, I've had lots of jobs too for people and haven't been toxic. I'm not saying that because that's my experience, that's going to be the experience. I'm just saying it's possible to have that experience. Have you had, I mean, tons of people have jobs in the acting industry and they've been horrible. There's the new documentary on it right now about all the wonderful children who are like, it's like, but you, of all the ways to earn income, want to go into that industry. So
Yeah, I mean that's sometimes that's a
you're
daily
telling yourself
question.
a
It's like,
whole different story about, oh no, but I'm going to work with nice people and I'm going to have a great set and I'm going to have the best people. Oh, but if I get a job that provide that's going to be, it's like it's just stories. There are people in your shoes who are like, just, I mean, they've had the worst industry experiences. They would never go back for any money in the world. And their,
Yeah.
corporate life is like, oh, thank God, a respite. So the thing about when I look at these, okay, so lean into some entrepreneurial stuff, Amazon affiliate, influencer programs. Okay.
I don't, I'm
I sense a
still.
little get rich quickiness about, I mean, I don't know enough to evaluate, but I'm like, how much effort? This is what I'm looking
I
for.
don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
This is what I'm, no, here's the equation I'm looking at when
Oh.
I evaluate this. How much effort, how much influence do you have over getting a return for the effort? So how much work, how much influence do you have over getting money? And let's just say if for each of these four options, the workload was exactly the same. You work the exact same hours for each of those. Well, if you show up at a job, you'll get a paycheck every 2 weeks. It's kind of how it works. Whereas you could put the same amount of effort into affiliate programs, influencer stuff, growing a social media audience, all that effort where you don't have a lot of control and you may or may not get paid. I am looking for, I show up, I get paid. I show up, I get paid. That's how it has to be if you need money. And then when you have a steadier flow of income, you can experiment with all the stuff you want to on the side.
Yes, good.
I show up, I get paid. I show up, I get paid. I get a client, I get cash. I get a client, I get cash. So it's all this. It's all this. And I think these four options are you trying to just avoid the story, but it's just a story. So if you say, the truth is, I want to work in one of the most toxic industries on the face of the planet. So what could be worse? There's only a few, the government probably being one of them in some departments, only a few other industries in the world that are as toxic as Hollywood.
That's
Not in
really
the same
something.
ways, but at the same level. And yet you would go in a heartbeat, heartbeat. So get some money. Go have someone pay you to do something. Yeah. So do a 90-day solid exact amount of hours, the amount of hours you get hired, at least 20, because that's what you'd be signing up for, at the very least 20 hours a week, 90 days looking for
Looking.
a non-toxic job. That's what you haven't done yet.
Correct.
And the fact that you would put 20 hours a week towards, like, oh, I'll learn all about the influencer stuff and I'll learn all about this.
That feels fun.
Yeah. Until you hit it. And here's the thing that we also have to be really truthful about. We're all wired differently. None of it's better or worse. But you have to be honest about how you're wired. And I think that part of the way you're wired is the new is very stimulating and very attractive. But if you keep going from new to new to new to new, and you never make it over that hump where it's like, hump of learning curve, hump of hard, hump of everything. You never get to the other side where you're kind of cruising.
Taking that in. It feels like it's less about new than creative. Like, I feel like my creativity has to be in the mix or I wither. And I'm not willing to, I mean, I've done that. I'm to the point of creating illness in my life. So I've done that. And so I
Right.
need to guard.
Okay, but here's the thing. I think you've done that. Had I been around coaching you through that period of your life, it probably wouldn't have been that experience.
Yes, you would have, we would have put on the brakes much sooner. Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's you're sort of like what's happened in the past is going to be the way it's going to be. You've grown a whole other set of muscles.
Yes,
I've
I have.
known you.
Correct.
And you have a whole other resources that you never had back then.
Also, yes, I see that. Yeah.
And I understand, but it's okay if your job is fucking boring because you don't want that job for the rest of your life anyway. You know what I want to be not boring? Your creative career.
Okay.
I want your job to be a little bit boring so that you don't get invested in it
Okay.
and start to making that your whole life and not the
Okay.
other thing you really want. That happens
Okay.
all the time.
No, that helps me a lot because part of me is like, well, whatever the job it is, in order for it to be okay, it has to have great meaning and I have to have joy and bliss and all
Stop.
the
No, that's your acting career and your
things. And
voice.
I'm like, yeah, okay.
It can't be all of everything.
No.
Because
Good. It's good.
acting
Really good to
career and
talk
your
about this.
voiceover career isn't all that.
Correct.
Some of it's boring, some of it's
Yeah,
tedious.
some of it's very tedious. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen so many creative people get kind of a stimulating creative side job, and they're like putting 110% into that because they get rewarded and all, and it's stimulating enough, and they never make it back to the creative stuff. Better to have a dull, boring job that doesn't take a lot of your energy. I'm not worried about you being stimulated at your job. I'm worried about it sucking all of your energy away so that you have no energy when you're done with the job to put towards the other stuff.
Yes,
That's
that.
my priority. But
Okay.
you're prioritizing stimulation and the fun. And it's like, I don't
Okay.
know. I'm
Okay.
non-toxic with a paycheck, where I'm at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
I know it's so hard to swallow and it's not fun, but getting the muscle to also do not fun and not fun and toxic are two different things.
Can you say that again, please? I need to hear it again.
Yeah, not fun and not toxic are two different things.
Feels emotional. Wow,
It can be
that's
boring
big.
with lovely people who treat you well. And it's just not what you want to do. But you get money for it, so do it for a while. And there are muscles to be built around being able to get through the tedium
Yes.
and the boring and the non-stimulating.
Yes. I mean, they talk about that in the spiritual communities I'm in all the time.
Yeah. So the story is I'm going to find a lovely job with nice people that pays okay, that pays steady, that doesn't take all of my energy. And I'm going to ride that pony until I can't ride it anymore. Meaning your artistic career grows and you don't need the job anymore, or you've used up all, like my grandmother died and then my other grandmother died and then my grandfather died to go to auditions and then they kick you out. You're going to just ride the boring little job pony until you have to get another one. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
You can do this. And let me tell you, the fastest way back to your artistic career,
Yes.
not having to have a job, is to have a steady job with paycheck that you don't have to stress about. Because that's energy, straw, all that, like, ooh.
Yeah, it's energy hemorrhaging.
And all of those options that you put forth here is just, that's a lot of energy. I want all of that towards your art.
Heard.
Oh,
Heard.
yes. Thank you for being strong enough to hear that.
Oh, okay.
Ileana,
Gonna go marinate. That's very good.
are you here?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'll do you, and then we'll do Jennifer and Ruthie. Okay. Ileana, cash flow kitten. Home. Are you though?
Confused about that, to be honest. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, don't you want to be earning money as an artist?
Yeah.
Haven't you been earning kind of like all the money as an artist?
Yeah. But does
Yeah.
that make me a cat? So am I a tiger?
I think you're a tiger, definitely in your artistic career. If you're we're gonna talk today about possibly if you want to start. This isn't all we're going to talk about, but if you wanted to start a side business coaching, you need a budget tracking software. If you want, then you become a kitten in that.
That's the kid. Okay, got
Yeah, that's a kitten. But let's just acknowledge that you're a fucking tiger and you're on top
it.
of life. And that's amazing. Amazing. And your whole question day is like, I earned so much money. So it's great. It's good. These are high class problems to have. I'm not saying they weren't painful to have. Like, I was like, oh, reading your thing. I was like, oh. But okay, learning experience. Ugh. Okay, but first, let's celebrate. You finished your first writer's room job.
You.
How did the driving go? How did that ever resolve?
It went really well, Christine. I really appreciate your guidance, and I will say I should have written this down, but there was a day where my typical entrance to the freeway was closed, so I had to go on a whole different freeway and then transfer to another freeway, and then I missed my entrance and I called my mom and my mom calmed me down. Then I got back on the different freeway and then I went to work, and it was my first, I went in and I was all huffing and everyone was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "I had to take a different freeway," and they all know now. And so they were like, "That was your first LA improvisational driving experience." That was a new term. But I did it and I lived and I didn't even cry. So
Oh my gosh, you phoned a friend, you informed your mom. Oh, you're
thank
getting, you're earning your stripes. So basically, what you're asking me in a nutshell for everyone listening is you earned a lot of money from this writing job. You were like, great, I'm going to be earning this much money. It'll be at this tax rate. And then you started getting checks. And they're like, oh, my withholding is this much. And then you got paid a bigger check and your withholding was this much. And you kept recalculating. You're like, well, my God, if I'm only earning this much, you thought you would have at the end of this job 6 months in the bank of like expenses, living expenses. And you're like, you had to keep adjusting that downward to where you're like, great, now I have 2 months. That's a whoo, heavy blow. You will get some of that money back with taxes, most likely. I don't know enough of this to advise on anything, but I do know that it is possible to adjust, have midway through your employment to just adjust how much they're withholding.
Wish I had done that. Great. Good to know. Good information. More learning. Yay.
So next time you ever have any kind of question about your paycheck, you can certainly go to Elena, who's a member of Abundance Bound, so she, ta tax woman. So she'd be able to be like, oh, you can adjust with your withholding, or this is why, or no, nah, it looks like a problem. So, yeah, but again, good to know you'll get the money back. So basically, you asked, so now that I'm reflecting, this is what you wrote. I'm clear on what mistakes I made from a management point of view, not understanding correctly, anticipating the level of taxes. You wouldn't have known that. How would you have known that? It's not like, oh, I didn't anticipate. It wasn't like you were spending the money and going, I have to pay taxes. Like, it wasn't that. It was just like, oh, it just, every single one of us, including me, if the withholding went up, I would not have expected that. And I would have been like, oh, fuck, what is going on? So that wasn't a you thing. You didn't know it could be adjusted, but how do you know? How do you even know that it's a thing? I only know that because I've heard that somewhere. Like, you don't know till you know. Now you know. Okay. And also, yes, corporations do help you save more. There is a podcast episode. I don't know her name. But she's an African American, one of our African American guests, young, and she got the lead on a Apple show.
I think it's Dominique.
Yes. And she talks about how her co-star did not have a corporation in place. And she did. She was like, oh, so there's a little conversation there if you want to hear about that. So you wrote, I'd love to figure out how to approach this from a stronger mindset next time. I can see how my expectations cause my suffering and how I got too attached to the plan. That might be a piece, getting attached to a plan. Even though each time I had to change, I felt devastated and really scared at what felt like a loss of income. I'm still thankful that I had a plan and the ability to change it. and the clarity on what your numbers are. I want to keep being a person who makes plans, but I'd love some guidance on how to approach these plans with playfulness and flexibility instead of rigidity so that it doesn't feel like such a catastrophe when the plan has to change. This is a really great question, and it's actually if all of this experience, by the way, let's just say you di haven't lost any money from this job.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just being held for you in a little cubby with your name on it by the government so they can earn some interest. Like, you're going to get it back. So you haven't lost any income. You did not make a mistake that lost you income. So that's what you need to tell your nervous system. Okay. So, hello, nervous system. It's okay, but nothing was actually lost. You just don't have it in your bank account right now as you thought you would have. Okay. So that's what you need to tell your nervous system. And oh my gosh, invite your nervous system to celebrate the fact that you had a plan and you were like on top of it. And then when you're like, this isn't what I you went back instead of just abandoning the plan. You're back and like, okay, well, gosh, if this is what we're working with. And then you had to do it again to an even starker degree. Like, such muscles. And just like you didn't freak out with the driving, you like held yourself together through this. So this next level is like, okay, so how do you hold yourself together when plans change in a way that doesn't super affect your nervous system detrimentally? And you don't hemorrhage a bunch of energy being like, oh my God, the world is ending kind of thing. At least you can do that like for a while, a day, 2 days, you know, just not like it doesn't need to ruin. So, from the biggest picture perspective, there's a saying like, when we make plans, God laughs. That is because life is fluid. And what's fascinating to me is that we all those of us who live in LA, I was going to say, but hell, New York now too. It's like we literally live in earthquake country. During this call, our lives could be completely changed in ways that none of us foresaw when we woke up today. Like, but we seem to just tuck that in the back of our head all the time. It's like, yeah, anything can happen. We have plans so that if nothing's happening, we know what to do with our time. The plans are for those spaces where everything's going okay and you can like do the plan. And then plans are either interrupted or you have to recalibrate or change course a little bit based on what a day brings, not just a life, not just a year, but a day. And here's the thing, we're living in a year where who knows how it's going to end? Oh my God. You know, just really enjoy the spring and the summer. Just enjoy the spring and the summer. Enjoy peacefulness. Enjoy your nervous system being kind of like, okay, because we can't actually make a lot of plans right now, except for if we can flee the country. No, but I'm just, that was a joke. But we can't actually make a hell of a lot of plans right now. And the things that are going to happen outside of our control. And then we will have to adjust. So the good news is your muscles have just gotten stronger to be able to handle that. And that is where we strengthen our muscles inside our own lives over things we kind of have a little bit of influence over so that we can handle the curveballs that life just hits us with. And I think that what we have to be careful of, especially in wonderful programs like this, Cashflow, Abundance Bound, is like, okay, well, if I just know mine, if I just get all my little ducks in a row, it protects me. A degree, maybe, but even this whole thing of like investing in the stock market, maybe. I don't know, perhaps. Social Security, oh, maybe. I don't know. We don't know all these things that we've been told are like secure. Security comes from inside of us. And that's where we have to manage the mind, is looking at exteriorly, like, well, if I get that job, then it will lead to this job. And then eventually my trajectory will only be up. Now, our trajectories are like this all the time. Miata and I just meet every month and talk about, like, what's going on? Like, we're just really good at handling the insane fluidity of life. That's all. Only because we've been working on building our muscles for a longer time. But I look at you, Elena, and you're on the same path that Miata and I are on, which is like, I'm going to build my muscles. I'm not going to flinch. I'm going to learn how to drive. And then when my entrance is closed, I'm going to kind of call my mom and like do whatever by any means necessary. Do whatever. I mean, how many times? Oh my God, back before the internet, you'd miss an off-ramp, you get off at the next on-ramp, suddenly you're in some crazy part of LA at night with your flashlight and the Thomas guide going, hey, where am I? Like, with no phone to call anybody. You have a map, hopefully, and then you figure out how to get back on that freeway. That's in the olden days, back in my day,
That's terrifying.
Elena. Yeah. That's how I know you can do it, though. I know you can do it. You can do this. And you did it, and you're fine, and you'll get your money later, and you'll be really happy next year when you get your money and be like, wait, that's kind of fun too. Yeah. And you'll plan for that. Like, when you get it, you'll know where to put it, and off you'll go. Yeah.
Thank you.
Life is fluid. And we don't know anything about anything. We don't even know. And that is why, if you have a brain like mine, which likes to run off into the future,
Yes.
or simple, yeah, I had a feeling. Our brains like to go in the future. Woo! Plan, 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 plan. Other people's brains are wired to reflect on the past. Oh, I sense, I don't know for sure, I'm not diagnosing anybody, but Karen Eileen is sort of like, well, that's how it was in the past. So that's how it's going to be in the future. Where you and I are like, no, we can create this other future that looks entirely different. And then there are people whose brains are wired to be in the present moment. That can, that has a, like everything has a light side and a dark side. So does the past one, and so does the future one. So, but for us future oriented people, we have to drag our brains back and stay in the present a little bit more to enjoy the present moment because that's what we have right now. It took a huge thing happening in my life for me to learn how to do that. And it might take something like that for you. Meanwhile, though, whenever you can, just drag your brain back and remind, like, this is a gorgeous day. The sun is out. I have a car. I have a place to live with a fridge that has food in it. I have friends. You're not gonna end up under a bridge. You have enough people who would give you a bed or a couch. You know, like, it's okay. And you're gonna be needing to remind yourself that it's okay, it's okay, it's okay for the rest of the year. Okay, it's okay, it's okay.
Oh, thank you so much. I think you're really right about the future thing. I think the part of what happened was that I was like, and now my 5-year plan is ruined, which makes no sense. And it was wrong. And that's really, yeah, that's really, really helpful. And yeah, focusing on the fact that I had a plan and could adjust the plan because the plan existed. And then the new plan, yeah, that really, really, really helps.
The fact that you, I mean, let's just talk about how amazing it is because of the work you've done already in Abundance Bound, that as your money dropped from like this to this to this, you were still okay. Like, just as far as like paying your rent and get, Do you know many people? It's like I mean, having flexibility in the way we're talking about it is a privilege.
Yeah.
And so even that alone, I remind myself of that a lot when shit happens, is like the fact that we can handle this shit right now is amazing. It's a huge privilege due to luck, and it's because of our good choices and hard work. Sometimes even handling a crisis can be seen as something that's amazing about your life.
Wow.
Nobody wants the crisis, but the fact that we can handle it. I mean, my husband and I have said that many times, like, just the fact that we're like getting through this is amazing. And yay us, even, to counterbalance the, oh my God, we're gonna die, which we also feel. Yeah.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And it's so beautiful to witness your growth. And it's so beautiful to witness you. This whole past 12 months has been a lot of you like having to get yourself back up and having to get yourself back up in good ways. Like, it's not like your life was crumbling, but like artistically and as a businesswoman, and now you need to get like incorporated or whatever because you earn six figures. Congratulations. I mean, your gross pay, six figures. So get incorporated so that you can then say to the universe, oh, bring it. This didn't, oh, yes, because you don't want to be scared of it
Yeah.
again. I don't want to go through that again. That was too much. It's like, no, I want to know how to do it, or I'm going to set it all up so woo, I can have twice as much. Yeah. That's the goal.
Thank you so, so much. Thank you,
It's so
Christine.
good. You're very, very, very welcome. Jennifer.
I think Ruthie actually had her hand up before mine. So I think.
Okay. You were here before me, Jennifer. You can go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Right.
I admit I haven't been to one of these live before. So I was like, I don't know
Congratulations.
if I'm supposed to raise my hand or if I'm supposed to submit a question, et cetera. Yeah, I hopped onto I think it was a money management session with Miata last week for the first time in a while. I was telling her same thing I'm going to tell you. I stepped away for a while too. Honestly, I didn't actively stepped away. I was pulled away to like work on mental health stuff and, get some other things in my life in order before I could even tackle finances. And now that those are stable and in fact really great, I'm going, okay, money. Because
Yeah.
I also recognize that my money has such a powerful impact on my mental health and on everything else in my life. And so one of the things that I've been talking about and thinking about for probably a year or 2 years now is the reality of becoming a coach myself. I've been looking into, I don't like to use the word life coach because I think it has a stigma associated, and I think there's a lot of people who use that phrasing to swindle people, to be honest, or really don't have the work to back it up that they should be working with folks who really need help. And so with that in mind, the thing that I'm struggling with is like, all right, I honestly, I would be a therapist if I had the money and time to go back to school. I don't. I'm not going, I can't do that. I'm in my mid-30s and have other things I want to do with my life and time. So, including keeping an acting career, right? So, I think the thing I'm struggling with is how do I take the steps that I don't even necessarily know what the steps are to start a coaching career, while making sure I'm aware of the fact that, like, I don't have any accreditation, I don't have any letters behind my name, I don't have something to back up the reality that I do think this is something I could be good at.
Yeah.
So part of it is a mindset issue. And then I'll think a lot of it too is just maybe an education issue. I'm very much, I've always, my mom was a teacher, my grandmother was a teacher, everybody in my family was a teacher. I taught for a while. So I think like education has been rammed into my brain as something crucial to do before you start something new, right? And I think there's value in that, but I also know myself well enough to know it's really easy for me to use that as an excuse to self-sabotage. So that's where I'm at.
Oh, I love it so much. I love it. I love it. I just want you to keep coming back here and back here and back here and back
That's
here.
the plan.
As we just can keep talking and talking. I would love to just talk you through this whole thing. It's so exciting. Do you know how many letters I have behind my name?
None. Is
Right.
that what you say?
I have a bachelor's degree in theater, and that's it. So now I did learn a lot and was in situations where I came into coaching gradually after doing a lot of other things. But I'm a huge believer in that you can learn as you do it. The way you do that is you just never overextend what you can do for people. As long as you stay in the zone of like of safety, of like, I will do no harm in this zone because I am helping people in the way that I can help them now. You don't have to be a coach who can help with this issue or that issue. You help the people who are behind wherever you are right now. And we always, no matter where we are in life, we have a ton of people ahead of us and a ton of people behind us. There's always people to coach because you're always ahead in some area than someone else. The good news about coaching versus therapy is that when you become, this is something I was like, I can't believe this is how it works, but like when you become a therapist, there's like a lot of parameters around what you're able to charge and like how you're able to charge, and you have to deal with insurance. I'm like, ugh.
I
And you,
mean, yeah, so much red tape.
there's a real kind of ceiling of growth there that is unappealing to me. But I don't call myself a life coach either because everyone, is just like, I'm an actor, I'm a life coach. It's like, yeah, okay. So, but you can call yourself a coach and you don't have to call yourself an expert, but you can call yourself a specialist. I specialize in working with this instead of
Interesting.
I'm an expert at this. It's like, because people hear those two words the same, but they mean very different things. So then now there's two, I think you're absolutely right on there's a ton of coaches out there who are not coaching because they're still getting educated on things. It's like, no, you've got to kind of do this on the fly. You've got to be doing it because that's how you learn too. And then you've got to be learning, and then you've got to be doing, and you've got to be learning. That's what I've done my whole career. It's like I'm right now working on this project in an area that I don't have any education in. I'm trying to do like a different type of artistic thing. I am like listening to podcasts and trying to be like, okay, how does this industry work? And how do I do this? And yeah. So, as a coach though, it's about coaching and being a business person. And some coaches hide out and just they're still getting educated. And then they start coaching, but they don't know how to run a business. So they're not making any money, profit. So what's great about where you're positioned is you're positioned here where you can really get taught how to make a profitable side business with this to function as support for your artistic career. So then the first question is, who do you want to coach and what problem are you going to help them with?
I've been putting a lot of thought into that and talking with my therapist about my thoughts with that. And for a little bit I was thinking about, I got really stuck on this idea of branding myself as a coach from the start, like how am I going to brand myself so I can stand out as specific, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I think there's value in that, but also when you just don't do it because you're so caught up on the name, well, that doesn't help. So for a while, the words creativity, were, like creativity coach were coming up a lot because, I've also been an acting coach, and so I'm also up for helping people with that because I'm pretty good with helping people to recognize their skills and their gifts as an actor as well as a person and learning how to, use that to make money. And so that is still, I would still like to help actors and creatives in general because I recognize that we especially we got it the hardest. We chose a really difficult business in which you're gambling every single day. So learning how to find stability, whether that's mental or spiritual or financial or whatever, I think re requires a lot of creativity. And so learning how to harness that, your creative gifts to do that, I think is helpful. So I think creativity, and then my therapist was like, everything you're describing, Jen, is an empowerment coach. She was like, I don't know if that exists, but that word keeps coming up. And I grew up very religious and have a decent amount of religious trauma that I've had to process over the years. And so I am very hesitant to associate myself with anything spirit like New Age spirituality or religion or anything that has like a very clear organization, set of rules, because I can see how much that has caused trauma for people. And so I personally have had to discover for myself what my spiritual relationship is. And in that process, I've found empowerment for myself in ways that I never ever expected. But when coaching, I want to make sure that people understand that the folks like me from 5 years ago who wouldn't touch spirituality with a 10-foot pole, I want them to be able to feel safe enough to come to recognize that like it's also about brain training. It's about neuroscience. It's about it's about being able to know your brain well enough to work well with it, because that was my way in to discovering all of this other stuff about myself and finding empowerment. So I think the thing I'm trying to strike with whatever I brand myself as, I want to help folks who perhaps just don't know how to find their way into empowerment in the first place, whether that's because of past trauma or because of, a fear of the quote unquote woo woo or whatever. There's a lot of little threads in there that I think are difficult to tease out. But the thing my therapist kept coming back to was like, well, Jen, the reality is every person that you talk to and every person you coach is going to be completely different. You're going to be working on different issues with them.
Yes, that is true. However, your marketing to have people go, oh, yeah, I think she's the one for me, has to be very clear on a level of like, what do I get from this?
Yes.
What is she delivering? Behind the scenes, once you get the client, oh yes, you're doing all sorts of wonderful magic with them that they didn't sign up for, but that they love and grow from. Number one, coaches love coachy language.
Yeah.
And it has been like one of the things that I've had to like learn and work on is to strip that
Yeah,
from
I don't
my
respond to that well.
marketing.
So I don't want to use that for my marketing and for my
Yeah,
coaching.
it just doesn't work because no one wants empowerment. When they are empowered, they're like, oh, this is great. Where has this been all my life? But that's not what they are buying. They're buying a solution to some sort of painful thing where it's like, oh. And you're coming along going, I can help you not feel this way or not do this thing. They're like, let's go on the journey. They don't even care what we're going to do on the journey if they trust that you can get them there. They're just like, okay, whatever, whatever, whatever. No one has ever asked me. And so in our sessions, what exactly are we going to do? What are we going to talk about? What tools are you going to use? Like, they're just like, okay, let's just do this thing. And they just trust. And so And the thing about coaching versus therapy, coaching is action oriented. It is about moving someone forward. And therapy, there doesn't have to be actual any forward movement at all. There can be, but it's really about untying the knots and understanding and bringing self-awareness. There's a little bit of overlap, but as a coach, you will definitely be able to see in people, oh, you have this knot. You need to, and I do that too. I'm like, okay, here's the thing. I can't help you with this, but you can go get help with that. But I can see it clearly and I can see how it's going to interfere. So
There's
you can feel very comfortable with like never having to touch anything you know you're not capable of touching. And that's what therapists are for. Like, go over here. And part of your job when you're assessing clients is, do they need me? Or do they need therapy? Or do they need it both at the same time? But you never want to take on a client who you're like, oh, you actually need therapy. You don't need me. You don't need me yet. I say that to a lot of
Ready
people.
for
I'm like,
me.
you don't need me yet.
Yeah, you got to do this other work first.
Yeah. So the first thing is getting clear on, and this isn't the problem for the rest of your life. It's just, what problem am I going to start with? Helping actors with what? Meaning, if I said to you, hey, so Jennifer, like, how would I know someone's a good client to refer to you? Like, what are they saying? What am I picking up on? If I'm ha sitting next to somebody at a dinner party, what kind of stuff are they saying where I would be like, oh, well, you know, just like you could sit at a dinner party and hear someone talk and be like, you need to join Abundance Bound.
In
We
fact,
need
I've
to
done
know
that
how, what is your ideal client saying? And by ideal, I just mean the client you want to start to play around with. That's all we're talking about. Because you'll start figuring this out, but it's like we got to start somewhere. So where would you like to start?
That's a great question.
Yeah,
I
so
have
that's the
some
first.
thoughts, but I'm recognizing the time, so that's maybe something I need to
Yeah.
sit for a bit.
Who do I want to work with? Meaning an actor who has this kind of issue, this kind of problem, is facing this kind of challenge that I could probably help them through. And then it's about, okay, you have to find one client. And then you work with them and you go, I like this, I didn't like this. They had expectation here that I need to shift here. Like even before a website, you just need to get somebody. I would charge something. I don't even care what you charge. It could be $25. I don't care. They have to give you some money and that you have to work with them for like at least 3 sessions. However long you want that session to be, we don't know. We don't know it's going to be your perfect session. And it will change over time. And then it will change back sometimes. It's all going to change and evolve. But right now you're like, huh, I think I'm going to try working with these kind of people on this kind of issue. Let me go get one of them and let me see how that works. And then you're going to get a little bit of data that you can be like, oh, okay, I loved that. That worked well. I actually need 5 sessions with them, or we got that done in two. Like, you know, but you've got to start.
That's
But
no
first you
problem.
have to decide, who do I help? So you can start telling your friends so you can find that first client who will probably be somebody you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they need you need to speak to them in a way where they go, oh, that's me, or that's my brother.
Okay,
So that's
thank
your
you.
first job.
That's really helpful. Thank
Yes.
you.
Yes. Oh, this is gonna be so much fun. I can't wait. Just keep coming back.
Excited too.
Oh, good, good, good.
It's a lot, but I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, you just sound very grounded. You sound like you've thought about this a lot. I love the fact that you're in therapy. All of
Oh,
these are like green
I can't
lights to
believe
me, as for somebody who can totally be a coach.
it.
Yeah. It's
Thank
good.
you.
Good, good, good. Exciting. Ruthie.
Christine, Allah, so
Hello.
grateful to hear your genius. And congrats to everybody. So much success in this space. I don't feel like I need help with this. And that's a new and improved me because I don't want to do things alone anymore, even if I think I know it. This is a dovetails a little bit with like I share a brain with Karen Eileen, a similar brain. So I'm going to a conference for travel, but just to back up one beat is I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I just don't know. And from chasing and doing and bright idea, and people are like, you're so good at that. Oh, you're so good at that. And that's why I do it, but it's not adding up to anything. And I'm giving myself a year to just, calm down, my home, which Helen is helping me with. Like, I just want to clear out the debris to see what's going on. And I want to explore. So my birthday's coming up. And 2 weeks ago, I saw one of my goals was to join this women's travel group that I was a part of, whatever, but it was on the list. And I saw they're having a conference. Oh my gosh, next week. What the hell, Salt Lake City? What the hell? That's my birthday gift to myself. So I've been to lots of conferences and, whatever. But I'm only going to explore. But, my concern is it's sort of like going back to a crack house when you're trying to be sober, right? Or like I'm going back to the bar when I'm trying not to be an alcoholic. People are going to be selling things, people are going to be doing really cool things, and I'm going to get that excitement, which I don't want. Anyway, that's kind of how I'm feeling going to this. So I wanted to ask any best practices. Because a friend was like, just go and have a good time. And that's true. But then I'm like, what do I do when I come back? What do I do? So I just wanted to hear your perspective. It's kind of a mindset thing, but best practices to like go and explore, not like, okay, I have an agenda and I'm going to conquer it.
Yeah.
But still get my money's worth, right? That's the tension.
Yeah. Well, what, how will you know if you've got your money's worth?
I don't know. That's the old thinking that I'll find the magic bullet and blah, blah,
No.
blah,
This is just, you're
fantasy.
just going to explore. You've already gotten your money's worth because you're going to go on a trip and stay in a hotel room and go see some people, and there you go. That's
Okay.
it. So that's the
Okay.
first story I want you to tell yourself as you're flying there. Ah, I've already got my money's worth out of this.
Okay.
Because the money's worth is the permission to go and explore. You gave yourself that permission to go and explore. That's what you paid for, an
Okay.
adventure. So we want it to be a fun adventure and not a nightmare. Yeah, that's all we're talking about now. So it is about, I think the biggest piece of advice I would give you is just take notes. You're not allowed to buy anything. If you see something that you want or you're interested in, write it down. Get
Okay.
the business card, get the website. You are not allowed to buy anything there. You have to
Okay.
phone a friend to talk, call
Okay.
Tatiana's mom. She'll talk you down.
Okay, I'll get her number.
So that's the rule.
That's great. Okay, thank you.
Know that, and I don't give a shit if they're like 50% off if you buy. Doesn't matter. If it's meant for you can
Right.
pay full freight. By the way, everybody, that's a
Okay.
really good phrase. If it's meant for you and you're going to get a lot out of it, you can pay full price. You don't have to buy because it's a bargain. It's like, You'll lose a lot of money that way. So take notes. Oh, that's an interesting idea. Ooh, I like that business. What's that thing? Like business cards, websites.
Okay.
That's my first piece of advice. The biggest mistake people make when they pay money to go to things like this is they don't give themselves processing time after they come home. It doesn't have to be the day you come home, it doesn't have to be the day after, but like in the next 2 weeks, reserve time on your schedule to process and look at the stuff that what you found was interesting. Sit down with your computer and just look on the web and go to all those websites from your notes. If you met somebody, schedule a time to have a Zoom with them. Like
Okay.
follow up on all the things. As an organizer, I learned this because I mean, client after client after client, I'd be organizing their offices and I'm like, oh, what's that tote bag in the corner? It's like, oh, that's from a conference I went to. So it's like, yeah, okay. People just go and then they don't process. Yeah. So you're going to go and you're going to have fun and you're going to take notes and then you're going to talk. That's it. That's absolutely it. And you're going to tell the universe, if there's something here for me, I trust that you're going to bring it to me.
Okay.
I'm not going to miss anything because you won't let me miss it. If it's meant for me, maybe it's just going to be a fun weekend, but maybe there is something there for you. But I'm not going to miss anything that's meant for me because
Okay.
the universe has my back on this. Yeah. I think it's great. When are you going?
The 11th.
Of this month?
Just for a few days. Next week, next Thursday through Sunday night. And like people are even sharing rooms. And yeah, I'm really lost. And I guess I can just say that too to whoever it is that I meet, right? It's just where I am and what their suggestions might be.
Where
Because
are
it's
you?
a travel, it's a Women in Travel Summit, I think it's called, for content creators of women who travel. So like again, I have so many ideas and I have so many skills that I could do YouTube channels up the wazoo if I had the time or getting paid to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm just challenged by, I wrote it today. I was like, well, who am I? What have I got going on? It's like storytelling, acting. Now I have money skills, travel, and self-help. Like that's the soup I've got. And I'm just trying to explore. I'm just exploring how they can come together or how I can choose one. I have no idea.
I think it would be good for you to decide on like a sentence that answers the question. So, what are you doing here? What brought you here? Because that's what everyone will ask. So,
Right,
it's
that's
great to have a
true.
question. And I think if I were in your shoes, one way I'd probably handle that is just I have so many interests in this space, and I'm trying to find out where I fit. So I wanted to
Okay.
come and just sort of get a lay of the land.
Okay.
How I'd answer the question. And that some people will follow up with that of like, oh, what are your interests? And then you can talk about all your interests. Oh,
Right.
like, what have you done in this space before? Well, you've certainly done things in that space before. So talk about it. And please, you don't have to be like, it was 10 years ago. Just say, I did this and you just use past tense, but don't.
Right.
Yeah. And remind yourself that it's absolutely okay that you don't know. It just means you're at the threshold of what's next. We don't always know what's
Right.
next. And sometimes, for me, I can think of three occasions in my life where I went into this thing I've nicknamed the fog. And I was like, I could feel like something was coming, but I couldn't see it. And I described it, I was just in this little rowboat on a lake, not the ocean, a
Oh.
lake, meaning I knew that at some point I would drift to shore. I would hit land at some point because I'm in a lake. Like eventually my boat is going to drift over to where I should embark, or the fog would lift and I'd know where to row. One of those two things would happen. Did I like being in a fog? Ask Ileana, do forward future thinking people like to be in a fog? No, absolutely not. We like to have the plan. It was so frustrating. And I had conversations with other people because when we're frustrated or we don't know, it's good to have conversations with other people, but none of them really helped. I'm thinking of one time specifically, it was like I just had to wait. Things were simmering inside me, outside me. It was just, and then the fog lifted and I was like, oh, that's what it's supposed to be. But I don't actually think we can rush awarenesses. I think we can slow them down by not going to conferences. I think, we can certainly slow our life progression down, but I don't think we can speed it up. Ileana, I'm just coming back to such a great example. It's like you can't learn to drive faster than you learn how to drive. You just, you don't know how to handle your first on-ramp being blocked until your on-ramp's blocked. Can't play that out in your mind if this is exactly what I'm going to do. Like, so this is perfect. And people believe what we tell them. People believe the energy we project. So if you go there and you're like, this is where I'm meant to be. I fit in. This is great. I don't know what I'm doing. And you say, well, I have so many interests in this field. And I'm really trying to find out where I should put my energy. So I wanted to get a lay of the land. People, you say it like that, people are like, great. You say it, oh, well, and 10 years ago, people would be like, okay, they'll match your wobbly energy. So just don't have wobbly energy. Get yourself aligned, have fun, and see what happens. I think it's a great gift for your birthday. Have you
I
ever
think so too. Have I ever been
been?
to Salt Lake? No, I've never been to Salt Lake
Supposed to
City.
be
Is it
gorgeous.
good?
Supposed to be gorgeous.
Oh,
I haven't been, but I,
fun.
yeah, I anything I hear of Utah is like, wow, that's pretty.
Okay, great. Yeah, and thank you for that, because it's true. Just being there is the win, is the gift, and just let the universe give me gifts. Like, don't, because that's the thing that I'm shifting from, and I'm just letting go of the control and making things happen, because I have, and it doesn't work, whatever that means. So, trying something new, if it gets scary, I don't want to default. So that's why I was like, I need Christine Aller's voice in my head. And so I'm going to have the first thing, do not buy anything. That'll be really helpful. So thanks for helping me save money.
Even a book, you're only allowed to write the title down in your
Oh,
notes.
thank you for that, because I'm thinking
Nothing. I
horses,
said
like
nothing,
magic
guys.
bullets, nothing, nothing, not even a
If the book's,
discounted book.
even if it's like buy one, get one free books, no,
Oh,
pay full
shoot.
price. Go back home, research if you really want it.
Thank
Nothing.
you.
Buy nothing.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your help with that.
You're very welcome. Ashley, what's up? Ruthie, love you.
Love you too.
I can
Hello.
hear. Oh, there we go.
Hi.
Hi.
So this is my first creating cash flow coaching, and
Okay.
it's
Are you
just
okay? I
fun
just,
to
Ashley.
pop my face in.
Okay, Ashley, I'm gonna hold off. I'm gonna talk to Helen. One, you're frozen and you're crackling up, and I'm a little I don't like to talk to people driving because it makes me nervous. So I'll come back. I'll come back to you. Helen.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hopefully she can park and get some service.
Yeah.
Ashley, feel free to cut me off. I just wanted to check in because I haven't checked in a minute, and I think also set myself some accountability. I have so much content of client spaces that I need to actually edit into posts and reels and whatnot. And I need to do that. I've been so thankfully busy with other like freelance assistant work and styling work that I just haven't had the mental space. I've also, my friend has been making a logo and I need to finalize that. That has just taken way longer, partially on me because I haven't pushed it along, because I think like once it's official, then I'm like, oh, then I really need to actually start posting and like have official things and like have a fancy branded everything and make it look pretty and blah. So that's I feel like I always come on here and do like a confessional rather than a question.
But I always absolve you, so it's all good.
The other thing is I'm still kind of grappling with the language. At first it was included in my logo and I took it out of like calling myself an interior stylist, like, or interior, saying interior styling and design, or interior design and styling. And I think for now, because I don't know how to deal with these words yet, I'm just going to not include it in the official branding. But
The word styling.
styling, well, honestly, it's more that calling myself an interior designer feels bigger than what I do, but it's not, but it is, but it's not. And then stylist people, I have to explain to people. But also with the Instagram, I'm thinking like, okay, I can kind of have a few different themes of things because I have more portfolio images coming in for what's also kind of confusing is the designer that I have worked for, who now I just style her shoes, thank God.
That worked out well because that's what you wanted to do anyway for
yeah,
her. Yeah.
exactly. And the timing of it was weirdly weird. Like she kind of downgraded it right around the time that I was like, that's about when I'm gonna want things to shift. So she did it. So I'll have these like beautiful professional photos that are her design, but my styling.
Okay.
And I'll have stuff that is like not quite as highly produced. You know, it's shot on an iPhone. It's not quite as glossy. Certainly, you know, she also is working with clients that have like gigantic budgets. So I'm trying to find the balance. I think this is some of my roadblock with the content, is the balance between like, this is like me being relatable, me talking about stuff in my apartment. This is my client space and what we did for them. And then here's this like super glossy thing that I've done, and the distinction between design and styling. I don't know what the question is in there, but if you have any thoughts or absolution
Yeah,
or what.
I got thoughts. So I think you can say, if I were in your shoes, I would say Helen Highfield or Highfield Home interior design. I wouldn't say I'm an interior designer. I would say I do interior design. It's a small semantic difference, but I think it aligns your energy. Because you can get behind, like, I'm not calling myself an interior designer, like with the license and the thing and the thing. It's like, I do, but you do interior design. It's the difference between expert and a specialist.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
That. So I would say interior design. And then that's what the Instagram captions are for. You just tell people, this is my styling work, and this is what a stylist does. Give us a sentence about what's the difference. What is the difference? Like the designer picks the stuff and you arrange it, or like how does it work? What is what it tell me what a stylist does?
The difference, to me, I mean, the designers also, I feel like there's is on a gradient. Like there's people who are like, oh, let me work with an architect and rent and like build you a house and design you a house, and that's like a whole other level. And then there's maybe people who maybe in the past we used to call decorators, where it's like, yeah, they're getting you a new couch, they're getting you a new thing, or they're reupholstering things, and it's a lot of like custom orders. The designer that I worked for does a lot. Everything is custom. So it's layout, it's the big pieces, it's how, in theory, if you're doing multiple rooms or a whole house, how it flows room to room to room, cohesiveness. And then the stylist is much more about accessories. It's much more, in terms of the photo shoot, it's frequently for a photo shoot or for a video where it's like, I'm making it look beautiful for the frame. So like I'm going to bring in a whole other layer of accessories and florals and whatnot, and move your stuff a little bit so that it looks perfect for the framing. So I think there is kind of a hole in the market for styling people's homes where it's
I'm
like, I'm
sure.
not redesigning your whole place. I'm just taking what you have and like making it a little more please in
And
more
by the
pleasing.
way, if you say interior design and styling, everyone's just going to be like, no, she's fancy and she like is artsy and does stuff in my house. No one's going to be like, and what do you mean? No one. No one. And so when you put those pictures up, you just put in the caption, my contribution to this gorgeous image was the placement of the accessories and blah, 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 the choosing and placement of accessories. Or if you didn't cho choose them, just the placement of the accessories to make it look proportionate and convey a certain texture in the frame of the photo. And people go, great, if they read the caption at all. And if not, they're just seeing these beautiful images that are associated with you and your brand, which is great too. Your job is not to sweat it. Please repeat that to yourself. Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. No one's looking that close. Don't sweat it.
Well, here's my follow-up to the no one's looking that close. I think I fear that this interior designer I've worked for is looking that close, and that she might in some way think that I'm taking credit for her stuff. Though to
Tag
be
her
fair, she's
photo.
been shitty about tagging me in the stuff that she should be rightfully tagging me
Of
in. So.
course. So don't be shitty like she is. Tag her or put her name in the caption and then go on with your day. You contributed to that photo, so you can post that photo. Yeah. It's all good. It's all good. Your job now is really to get out of your own way. You know that. Like, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it's like I'm just affirming, like, yeah. Just no sweat. This is going great so far. I think it's going to continue to go great.
I think so too.
And so, how are you going to make the time to edit all that stuff and start posting? Are you going to do it twice a month where you like reserve a day and sort of edit a bunch of stuff?
I had not decided. I don't know, but I like the idea of a batch edit day and having stuff ahead of time. I even am currently paying for like a little scheduler thing that I was using for her social media. I bought there was like a sale on it, so I have it for myself and haven't been using it, and so now I'm like wasting money. But I would like to be able to have stuff teed up.
How much do you need?
I really don't think I need that much.
No, you do not need that much.
And I will say also the other thing that I kind of navigate is like when I put up the wallpaper in my dining room, I like put it on my stories every day and I made like a bunch of jokes about it and it was like a whole thing. And that was a year ago. And when I see people, they still are like, "Oh my God, your wallpaper." And I think it's because I made it such a like a silly, relatable thing on my stories. And so I'm vacillating between like I want to have a bunch of stuff in the chamber to schedule and it be like a professional thing. And I think I actually get a lot of mileage from like posting a little bit more in real time in a little bit more of a relatable way because people like get to come along on the process with me. So I think I need to do that more.
Ruthie, what do you love about working with Helen, like as a person?
She feels like I know she's really knowledgeable and I'm really not, and it's okay for me not to be like, and that like I feel like I'm not doing it alone. I'm like, Helen, what are the inches? And it, like I feel no shame about not knowing
Yeah.
what the hell this is that
And
I'm
she makes you
doing.
feel really comfortable. And she's relatable. She's not intimidating. Yeah. That is definitely the brand. Because I think most people are intimidated and they're just like, oh my God, someone's going to make, like, not even make fun of me, but just say a comment that's just going to push the bruise that I don't have the right taste or, Ruthie.
The budget, yeah, like I'm like too expensive,
Budget.
can't do it. Like I don't feel shame about saying that. And also like, well, I have these ideas and she nudges a little bit and I'm like, but why? And oh, like
Yeah, that will bring you clients if you can just demonstrate, like, well, we're chill with this. I loved my wedding planner. I needed it because I was planning a wedding that was out of LA. It was in San Francisco, and I didn't know, not in the city, but outside. And so I went through the American Association of like bridal consultants. Oh my God. Like the first four people I called like snickered when I said what my budget was. And I was so like all mortified. And then Sarah, who I found, who we still email each other once a year, every year at Christmas. I've seen her kids grow up because she was like, great, we'll make this work. Like,
Figure it
and I
out.
had no money, barely a little money to pay a photographer. And she's like, great, we'll go to the photography college in San Francisco and we'll find a person and I'll put this thing on the. I was like, oh my God, it goes a long way. And so the algorithm for Instagram is insane. The people who follow you don't even see your stuff. And if there's no engagement, then it's not pushed out and blah, blah, blah. But people use Instagram like another website. So you want to have some stuff there so that when people check you out. So at most, you need 9 new tiles a month, which you can do in a day. You can batch edit and program all of that in a day. And then I would do a metric, set yourself up. I'm going to do either one or two little series, 4 days in a row or whatever, of a story. It could be one a month. And then you plug all of those, though. You don't just let them disappear. You put them into those little dots.
Highlights, yeah.
Highlights. Obviously, I know my social media.
Yeah,
Yeah. And you just make those little highlights so that people can go back and go, oh, she's so fun. That's what those highlights are for. She's so fun. Look at her. And you can even name the highlights. Not intimidating, no intimidation, make you comfortable. This can be fun. And you're off to the races. So you're going to do one of those story series a month and you're going to do 9 tiles. And you're not going to worry about putting pretty pictures next to regular stuff because the pretty pictures show, like, oh, well, she's done some stuff. But the other stuff is what's going to get you your clients because it's more relatable. It's like everyone's embarrassed about having you see their place and being like, oh yeah, I did so much work. I know because I felt that way when I work with my gal. I'm like, I didn't even know how to do this, you guys. This is not even me. And it's like, and I was embarrassed about the fact that I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of snootiness in interior design, as
Which
I've
is fantastic because you just have this wide swath that you can conquer as the antidote to that. You're absolutely 100% right. And you can just make a lot of money not being snooty from regular old people who just need a little bit of help, who think, oh, but I can't afford a designer. And then they meet you and they're like, oh my God, she's amazing. And then they just tell everybody. And then people come into their house. I mean, it's a great job because people come into the house and go, oh my God. And then everyone tells you about their organizer, tells you about your designer. It's fantastic.
I also, part of my plan with the logo is to make it be like a sticker that I can put on candles and then leave a candle with my
Oh.
Ruthie. Pretend, act surprised when you get one.
But it's also something great that people can then do on their own Instagram.
Oh, I also kind of want to make custom matchbooks. So I'm torn between the two, but it might be both. We'll see. The candle is more like in the future, maybe I could have on my website, I could like drop ship candles and have like a pat. I'm like, maybe there's a way that I could make this a thing where I sell candles, but maybe I start with the matchbooks and then get the
That
mechanic that like matches
is,
their decor.
yes, that's what I would do to start.
That
Ooh,
was the original idea.
Helen, your brain is so good. The fact that you were like, this at this, or in the future, this at this, but right now to start, this, yes, you have the whole plan. But oftentimes, even if people can figure that out, they'll be like, well, I can't do it because it has to be perfect. It has to be this iteration. It's like, you'll never get there unless you start here with the candle and the matchbook.
I know this is why I do these confessionals because I feel the sticky resistance, and so it's not like I have no idea what to do. I have ideas. I just need to fucking do it.
Yes, you have really great instincts and great desires. And ever since you started this, it's been green lights, green lights, green lights, green lights, green lights, because you've been putting one foot in front of the other based on your instincts, iterating. Yeah, I remember you on here crying.
Oh yeah, I did that a lot. Yeah.
You did it like once or twice, at least. I mean, you probably cried a lot, but with us here, it was twice. But one time it was really bad.
Yes.
And it was like, look at you here. Here we go. Yeah. Guys, that's it for April 7th, 2024. We only get one of these days ever in our life. So go have a wonderful evening. Thank you, Kate, for showing
Thank you,
up.
Christine. Thanks,
You
everybody.
always, always. Bye, guys. Go off and make a money. You
You
can
can
unmute.
unmute
Thank you,
and say bye.
Christine.
Thank you. Bye.
That was very
Congrats
Italian.
to
I
everyone.
like it. Make a money.
Yeah.
Ciao.
No,
Ciao.
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 Bella. Ciao.
Ciao, babe.
Bye,
Bye,
guys.
guys.